This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira fa ma ba'du. My brothers and sisters, we are on the Death and Hereafter series of lectures. And as I sat down today to record this lecture, I got news of the passing away of a cousin of mine in a car accident between Medina and Makkah. He had gone there for Umrah with his family, and they were going from Medina to Makkah, and inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. He died, he passed away, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la for him. And his family is, they are injured, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure them and to help them in this difficult moment. My idea of saying this and mentioning this, of course, is for your dua, but even more for us, to for it to be a reminder for you and me, that only the way in which we go into the Alam al-Barzakh changes. Only the way in which we go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes. Some go in one way, some go in another way. Somebody goes because of an accident, somebody goes because of illness. Somebody goes with apparently no reason, I mean just drop dead. And we have seen many such cases. Perfectly healthy, athletic people in top physical condition just dropped it. So it doesn't matter, as old, young. The reality is that we will die. And that is why it is so important to prepare for this reality. That's the reason why Rasulullah ﷺ called it a sign of intelligence. He said the famous hadith which all of us know, where he said that the most intelligent of you is the one who remembers his death most often. So it is very important for us to remember that we will die. And obviously the purpose of remembering that is not because we should go into some kind of morbid depression about it, but so that we prepare for it, alhamdulillah. Where that death, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, will be the best news that can be given to us. The death of a mu'min is the happiest time of his life, the happiest day of his life. Yes, there is for his family and for his friends and so on who are left behind, there is the pain of bereavement, and so they are sad. But even among them, those who understand and those who have knowledge of Islam and those who are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be sad only because of the pain of parting. Not because they are sad for the person. They are very happy for the person. They are very happy for the person. Alhamdulillah, he lived a good life and now he is gone to his Rabb, and he has reached that day that he had been waiting for all his life, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that day the best day of his life, which is what he wanted. This is the thing that will happen. Like I said in the last lecture, मौत इख्तियार के खत्म होने का नाम है. मौत जिंदगी के खत्म होने का नाम नहीं है, इख्तियार के खत्म होने का नाम है. डेथ इज नॉट द नेम ऑफ द एंडिंग और सेसेशन ऑफ एग्जिस्टेंस. डेथ इज द नेम ऑफ द एंडिंग ऑफ चॉइस, द एंडिंग ऑफ द एबिलिटी टू डू एनीथिंग. Now let me add one more to this. Death is not the ending of suffering or of joy, right? So if you were living a life, very beautiful life, full of goodness, full of joy, and you were having a whale of a time, and you die, that death is not the ending of that rejoicing. Similarly, if you were living a life of great pain and suffering and problems, and you die, then death is not the end of that suffering. We hear this all the time. Especially we hear it when people have died who were suffering, who were in hospital or something, and or who had some, you know, disease or some problem. And people say, oh, at least chalo bhai, ye takleef to khatam ho gayi. People say, oh, at least the pain is ended. No. Whether the pain has ended or the pain is now starting, and this pain which is starting will never end. Whether the joy has ended or whether now the real joy starts, and that joy will never end. This depends on what they were doing when they were alive. That is, death is therefore not the ending of pain or joy. It is the beginning of pain or joy, and the pain or joy that begins at death will never end. That is forever. And that depends on how we lived our life. If we lived our life trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we were living a life in which we were very joyful and very happy, because I have never seen a person who's trying to please Allah who was not happy. People, other people, forget about other people. Other people might say, oh, but you know, he's so poor. Oh, he could have made so much of money. Oh, she is so poor. Oh, she could have done this. He could have done this. No. Don't worry about people don't know. People are looking from the outside. They have no clue what's going on inside the hearts of those people. Anyone trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is living a life of beautiful, beautiful joy. They are having a ball of a time. You don't know. They don't care that you don't know. Why should you know? Why should you know? So they are having a grand time. And inshallah, if they live their life to try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they enjoy doing that. And then when they die, now they get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that reward never ends. So their happiness has not ended, but happiness has now begun, and that, and what began now will not end. On the other hand, if somebody was living a life which was very happy and full of, apparently, from the, again looking from the outside, apparently full of great, you know, luxury and joy and having a, you know, absolutely sort of enjoyment and indulging in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, may Allah protect us from that. So people get sidetracked, and people get like with the case of Karun. People saw what Karun was doing, and people say, oh, we wish that Allah would make us like this. But what happens? What happens when Karun died? What happens when such people die? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we catch them, we grab them in the middle of their enjoyment. And then they are broken in spirit. That happiness will end, and the pain that begins is forever. So death is not the ending of existence, it is the ending of choice. And those choices determine whether at death pain starts or happiness starts. So death is the beginning, death is not the end. Death is the beginning of the life of the Akhirah. Just as our birth is the beginning of the life of this dunya. Similarly, death is the beginning of the life of the Akhirah. Continuing with that and thinking about that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us. We were talking about the importance of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرُكُمْ. Remember me and I will remember you. Just try to think about this. Just try to get this into your hearts and minds and say, what is the meaning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, I will remember you? My understanding of it, and Allah knows best, is that Allah will mention your name on His arsh. Allah will point you out to the muqarrabun, to those who are around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hawli arsh, around His arsh. This is the meaning of being remembered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What value does it have for us? Tell me. Does it have value? And remember, all of these things is not simply a matter of saying, yes, it has value. Obviously, you will say that, I will say that, all Muslims will say that. But if something has value, then we demonstrate that. If we think something has value, we demonstrate that by trying to get the maximum out of it. Gold has value. How do we know that? Because people all over the world are running behind gold. They want gold. So does the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have value? Does the dhikr of Allah have value? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Allah said, Allah dhikr, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah mentions you, this is the best, this is the highest. So Rasulullah said on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who said that Nabi said in a hadith al-Qudsi is a hadith which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's meaning and Nabi Sallallahu's words. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired and revealed it to Rasulullah, who expressed it in his own words. The Quran is Allah's words and Allah's meaning. Rasulullah repeated the ayat which he received. In the case of Hadith al-Qudsi, Rasulullah is expressing what he received in his own words. He says, Allah says, right? Allah says. In the case of the Wahi of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Rasulullah did not say, Allah said, I am one. He simply repeated, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say, Allah is unique. Al-Ahad. But in this case, in the case of Hadith al-Qudsiyah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this. So in this case, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah said, I am as my slave thinks I am. Ana inda zanni abdi bi. So I am for my slave as he thinks I am. So we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we expect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the best. Rasulullah said, always expect the best from your Rabb. So in any situation, don't expect the worst. Don't say, oh, this might go wrong, that might go. No, say, Alhamdulillah. The circumstances, the situation of the world does not overpower Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the world and the situations. And whatever be the mashiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with respect to the situations, it is in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save me from the harm of that situation if He wishes. And so I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save me from the harm of the situation. There are many pieces of evidence about this for anyone who wants evidence. One of the most powerful is the situation of Ibrahim alayhi salam and how he was saved from being burnt in the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put out the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not prevent Ibrahim alayhi salam from falling into the fire. The fire remained there. The people of Namrud, their evil intention was allowed to go to its completion so that it becomes a witness against them on the Day of Judgment. They were allowed to throw Ibrahim alayhi salam into the fire as it was their wish. They were not stopped from doing that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not take Ibrahim alayhi salam away mid-air to a place of safety. The people of Namrud who were watching this whole thing, what did they see? They saw that they were successful. They saw that the Nabi of Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam, was actually catapulted into the middle of this roaring fire, roaring inferno. And he disappeared in the fire. They rejoiced. They said, we have burnt him. But did they burn him? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the nature of the fire only for Ibrahim alayhi salam. Not even for the ropes with which he had been bound. The fire burned the ropes, but did not touch the skin of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Didn't touch a single hair of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the fire became a means of comfort and means of safety for Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the fire and said, Qulna. Allah said, we said, Qulna, Ya naru kuni bardan, wa salaman ala Ibrahim. O fire, cool down and become a means of safety for Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is saying, Ana inda zanni abdi bi. I am the way my slave thinks I am. Meaning my relationship with my slave is the way he wants it to be. And this is not only restricted to simply thinking. If I think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me, then I make sure through my amal that I do not do anything which can endanger that relationship. Then this hadith continues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am with him when he mentions me. If he mentions me to himself, I mention him to myself. And if he mentions me in an assembly, I mention him in an assembly better than his assembly. And if he draws near to me by an arm's length, I draw near to him by a fathom's length. And if he comes to me walking, I go to him at speed. Now what a majesty of address. What a kalam from our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Hayyul Qayyum. Al-Hayyul Qayyum. Al-Hayyul Ladhi La Yamut. And what is that company that he mentioned in the Quran and in this Hadith Qudsi? He said in his kalam, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa tara al malaikata haffina min hawli al arshi yusabbihuna bihamdi rabbihim wa qudiya bainahum bil haqqi wa qila alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. And he said, you will see the angels surrounding the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all around, glorifying the praises of their Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. And they, all the creatures, will be judged with truth, and it will be said, all praise and thanks be to Allah, the Rabb of the Alameen. Our brothers and sisters, let's reflect on this one thing. Allah is mentioning your name. Allah is mentioning your name on his arsh. Ameen Ya Rab. May Allah mention your name on his arsh. How does it make you feel? How does it make you feel? Go inside your heart. Right? Go inside your heart. Ask yourself this question. Go inside your heart. What do you see? Let us stop living these mechanical lives where even our ibadah is mechanical and cultural. We worship because it is supposed to be done, not because it is something we love to do and we look forward to it. Illa mashallah, may Allah make us among those who really worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we cannot even connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are worshipping Him, what hope is there for us when we are engaged in other things? We talk about ghaflat in salah, we all have it, subhanAllah, may Allah protect me from this. So I'm reminding myself and saying that if I cannot even have concentration when I'm standing in salah, meaning I made wudu, I went to the masjid, I'm standing in the musalla, the whole reason for that is to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I still can't get it right. Then what hope is there of me connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I am in my business or driving a car or cooking my food or, you know, working in the garden or whatever else I'm doing? If I can't even do it when I'm standing on the musalla before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can I do it elsewhere? Whereas our whole life is meant for only this. That is tragic enough for those who don't know Allah, but how much more tragic for those who know Him and worship Him. People, mushrikeen, people who are kuffar or denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they cannot connect to him. Okay, so they cannot connect to him. But what about Muslims? My brothers and sisters, let us change now. Let us change now. The first condition of building this connection with Allah is to show gratitude, to have shukr. The way to demonstrate shukr is through obedience. The way to demonstrate shukr and love of Allah is by obeying Allah. The way to demonstrate our shukr for Rasulullah and of love for Rasulullah is through his ittiba, is through emulating him. Disobedience is ingratitude. It is rebellion. Disobedience is to declare your ingratitude because we use what Allah gave us in opposition to his will. And Allah promised his punishment for that. So let us beware and let us fear that punishment. Allah gave me eyes and I look at haram. Allah gave me ears and I listen to haram. Allah gave me a tongue and I speak haram. Allah gave me strength and He gave me power and I use it to oppress other people. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. So sad, so tragic. This is what we are doing. This is what Muslims are doing. As I said, if others are doing it, that is bad enough. But if Muslims are doing it, how much worse? Obedience is the key to the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obedience is the essence of ubudiyat. Obedience is the principal characteristic of the Anbiya alayhi salam. Obedience is the single most important sign that you trust the one who gave the command. You don't obey only those who you don't trust, whose intentions you doubt, who you believe do not have your best interests at heart, and that they may cause you harm, that obeying them might be harmful to you, so you don't obey them. You don't obey those you don't respect, or you consider them worthy of being obeyed. You don't consider them worthy of being obeyed. I ask you, is this what you believe about Allah and about Rasulullah? Do we trust them? Do we respect them? Do we consider them to be our well-wishers or not? And if the answer is yes, and inshallah it is yes, then what is the problem with obeying them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about his Khalil, Ibrahim alayhi salam, who obeyed him completely and totally. And he said, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When his Rabb said to him, submit, he said, I have submitted. I have submitted myself to the Rabb of the Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to leave his wife and newborn child in a barren valley and go away. He did that. And then he made this dua. رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةَ مِنَ النَّاسِ تَحْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. He said, O our Rabb, I have made some of my offspring to dwell in an uncultivable valley by your sacred house, the Kaaba, in order, O our Rabb, that they may establish a salah, iqamat as-salah. So fill some hearts among men with love for them, and O Allah, provide them with fruits so that they may give thanks. Then when the child is able to walk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to sacrifice the child, to slaughter the child as a sacrifice to Allah. What does he do? This father, who hasn't seen him from the time he left him as a little infant to that time, so he leaves him and goes away, and then when he comes back, he is asking this child a question. And that blows you away if you think about that. This is a 90-year-old father talking to a child who is probably less than 10 years old. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about this amazing conversation. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَا قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين فلما سلما وتله للجبين وناديناه أن يا إبراهيم قد صدقت الرؤيا إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين إن هذا لهو البلاء المبين وفديناه بذبح عظيم وتركنا عليه في الآخرين سلام على إبراهيم كذلك نجزي المحسنين إنه من عبادنا المؤمنين In Surah As-Saffat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and when he, the son, was old enough to walk with him, so we are not talking here about a teenager or somebody in their 20s, we're talking about a young, small child who's just about able to walk with his father, old enough to walk with him. So I'm saying, my estimation, less than 10, wallahu alam. So what does his father tell? The father is over 90 years old. And the father hasn't seen him from the time he left him there, of which probably the little infant has no memory. So for him, for the infant, he is literally seeing his father for the first time. And that father, the son, was old enough to walk with him, he said, "Oh my son, I have seen in a dream that I am slaughtering you, offering you in sacrifice to Allah. So look, what do you think? Look, what do you see? Panzur maza tara." This translation always says, "What do you think?" I don't know how they say that. Maza tara is what do you see? So he's telling him, look in your heart, what do you see there? He said, "Oh my father, do what you have been commanded to do. Insha'Allah, you will find me of the sabireen, of people who have patience." Then when they had both submitted themselves to the will of Allah, and he had laid him prostrate on his forehead or on the side of his, or on his side for slaughtering, Allah says, "We called out to him." So again Allah is speaking directly to Ibrahim alayhi salam. "O Ibrahim, you have fulfilled the vision. Verily, thus do we reward the Muhsinun. Indeed, that was a manifest trial. It was a very, very difficult test. And we ransomed him with a great sacrifice, with a ram. And we left for him a good remembrance among the generations to come in later times." We do this, we commemorate this in Eid al-Adha to this day, probably about 4,000 years since this thing happened. Salaman ala Ibrahim, salam on Ibrahim alayhi salam. Thus indeed do we reward the Muhsinun, the people who strive for excellence in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily, he was of one of our believing slaves. Obedience complete and total. The reward of that was the khulla of Allah, the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where it was his Rabb who became the witness for his obedience and honored him such that to this day, thousands of years after Ibrahim, Ismail and Hajar alayhi salam, alayhimus salam, have all passed away, their names are taken with great honor. People name their children after these people. Their actions have been made the rituals, the actual rituals of the greatest of ibadat, Hajj. And their sacrifice is commemorated in every part of the world. It was an amazing family, subhanAllah, a family of people who were totally obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam and sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam as his messenger with the same duties that Ibrahim alayhi salam had asked him for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. رَبَّنَا وَبَعْثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ وَأَوَر Send among them a messenger of their own. And Allah answered this dua by sending Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who shall recite unto them your ayat and instruct them in the book. the Quran and Al-Hikmah, the Sunnah, the wisdom, and purify them. Verily, you are the Almighty and All-Wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the order of these four desires and four requests, because He knew what was required before which, but He kept them all, as Ibrahim alayhi salam had asked in his dua. I remind you and myself that obedience pays. It is as simple as that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to become obedient slaves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to remember that one day we will meet Him, and that day is very, very near. And that is why Rasulullah ﷺ called it a sign of intelligence to remind ourselves of that day. وَصَلَى اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ